This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Everybody can probably do it in yeshiva. Everybody can do it growing up with a kippah and growing up with talis gadol and everybody, bar mitzvah, you know, mazel tov. But who can do it in the slums the way David did it? Who can do it in the wilderness the way Moshe Rabbeinu did it? That's the ultimate Jew. Ultimate Jew.
I'm a tough Jew, you fuck around, I'll snuff you. The way you grew up ain't realer than me. We grew up rough too, you feeling me? Shout out to Rothstein, he taught us thugs how to floss clean. Tailor-made cloth, razor blade sharp. The Borsellini walk is smooth like a classical played harp. You'll see more Gordon Guar, you don't want it, Paul. Play your part. Scarred from Egyptian enslavement, the Star of David. Slam you on tar pavement, reparations, Holocaust payment. My empire lights you on fire, it's real, man. Catch you in your cell at night and leave you like Hetfield 10. Blessing you like delicatessens, the essence. Smell the freshness of conditions and ethnic dishes, gay essence. I don't need to ever say thank you, cause I'll shank you, whatever. It's understood, we all hood, benevolent, never. If I made a rule, I follow it. We're paid Jews with hollow tips. They're flipping contract hits, but our kids get scholarships. As a kid, I used to get illegal funds. Selling drugs, G like Maya Lansky and Bugsy Siegel with guns. Grew up in Brooklyn, roaches in my bed at night. We're getting fights with anti-Semites and hit them with lead pipes. If I could go back to when the Jews died in Europe, I'd be a rabbi holding guns, bucking at the Führer. Fuck a swastika, my posse of sickos, or throw Nazis through windows. Hitler was a homosexual cocksucking dick blower. Cracking skulls open till I'm blood-soaked in your hemoglobin. For being racist, your faces get cut with razors. I'm like Dutch Schultz, catapulting bullets. I should win a Pulitzer for the way my literature hits you like the script. And sitters in shuls on Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah. Never talk lush and horror, or you get your mouth stuffed with murder. Brooklyn to Israel, it's necro, repping it like Arnold Rothstein, the criminal.
Haha, welcome to Renegade Broadcasting. I'm your host for tonight, Israel Solomon. And, change of plans, all you bigot racists out there. The FCC has passed new regulations through the Supreme Court, and hate networks such as Renegade Broadcasting are now required to add a little diversity to their lineup. So I am your little diversity, and we're going to have a fun time tonight. I'm going to school you bigots and racists and Nazis out there listening on the real truth, the truth of progress. Here that we've made in America, especially in this past week. It's been an amazing week for human rights in America, and I want to talk about that with you. And if you would like to call in, even if you are a racist or bigot, you can call in at 347-633-9657. And that number again is 347-633-9657. And just push 1 to talk, and we'll let you on the air. We're introducing diversity to all of these hate networks here on the internet, and I think it's amazing, and I want to thank President Obama for allowing us, for helping to push for this. I know that he didn't do anything as far as an executive action as he's done in the past, but he put pressure on the Supreme Court to allow me and people like me to come on the air to add a little bit of diversity. As some of you may know, my brother, Shalom Solomon, he's thinking about running for president. He wants to make Israel the 51st state of the Union, and I think that's a great idea. I think taking down the Confederate flag is a great idea as well. We get rid of that flag, and we'll put up the good old blue bars and blue star. How about that? And I think it's great. We've made a lot of progress in this past week, and I think you guys are going to either you're going to hate the show or you're going to really enjoy it. So here we go. I guess we'll get into some of the news headlines here. We got Donald Trump. You know, if my brother decides that he's not going to run for president, I think I'm going to throw my support behind Mr. Donald Trump. I think he's going to really bring back America to where it needs to be, which is basically agreeing with Israel and everything. And I think that's just absolutely fantastic. So here it is, Donald Trump. I'm no apprentice when it comes to Israel. This is from the AlJazeera.com. It says, in the middle of a phone interview with JNS.org on June 26, billionaire real estate mogul and Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump leaves his desk to scan the wall of his office for awards he has received from the Jewish community. Isn't that great? I love this guy. I love his hair. He's got a beautiful comb over. Trump reads the text from some relevant plaques. Of course they're relevant because they're from Jews. And what plaque wouldn't be relevant from Jews? You know what I'm saying? But before returning to his desk, before the reporter can move on to the next question, Trump eagerly points out that he was the Grand Marshal of New York City's annual Salute to Israel Parade, now the Celebrate Israel Parade, in 2004. At a time when it was quite dangerous to do that and a pretty tough time for Israel, but when has it not been a tough time for Israel? In the middle of the Second Palestinian Intifada, or uprising against Israel, he also cites a video endorsement he gave Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Gotta love him. Gotta love him. Great man, patriot. For the Jewish state's January 2013 election, expressing pride for what it was at the time, the only ad done by a celebrity for Netanyahu. Can you believe it, Mr. Trump? Great man, great American. I bet Sean Hannity endorses him, you know. That I love Sean Hannity, too. He's great, even though he's Irish. What does all this have to do with the 2016 American presidential election? President Barack Obama won 78% of Jewish voters when he was first elected in 2008, and despite a rocky relationship with Israel when compared to most other U.S. presidents, he garnered 69% of the Jewish vote in 2016. Trump, however, touts his close relationship with Israel and the Jewish community as the reason he believes he can outperform Republican contenders of both the past and the present among Jewish voters. How close, in fact, is Trump's relationship with Judaism? Unlike the name of his reality TV show, he is no apprentice when it comes to the Jewish faith. Trump's daughter, Ivanka Trump's daughter, Ivanka, converted to Judaism in 2009, and her observance of Shabbat Shalom Shamalam Aleika with her husband, Jared Kushner, a well-known real estate developer. Real estate developer just like Trump. Great guy. As well as the owner and publisher of the New York Observer newspaper is well documented. I have a great respect for the Shabbat traditions. And I see Ivanka during Saturday and from Friday evening on through Saturday night. She won't take phone calls and they live a very interesting life, Trump said. And it's actually a beautiful thing to watch with Jared and Ivanka in a very hectic life. It really becomes a very peaceful time, so there's something very nice about it. There are already 13 declared Republican presidential candidates, and many of them are publicly expressing support for Israel. But Trump argues, in his typically brash and blunt fashion, that his history with the Jewish people and the Jewish state can set him apart from the rest of the crowded GOP field. The only candidate that's going to give real support for Israel is me, said the 69-year-old Trump. The rest of them are all talk, no action. They're politicians. I've been loyal to Israel from the day I was born. My father, Fred Trump, was loyal to Israel before me. The only one that's going to give Israel the kind of support it needs is Donald Trump. Well, I'll tell you, Donald, my brother Shalom, he's going to give you a run for your money. He is definitely the Jewish candidate, the most favorite of the Jewish candidates. He's going to make Israel the first state, going to make Jews exempt from all U.S. laws because there's no sense in Jews breaking them because they're the most moral. and best people on the face of the planet. That's why God chose them. They've never done anything wrong. They've never done anything wrong, and you can quote me on that, and I will stake my job on it. I will definitely stake my job on that one. But anyway, I would like to see a face-off between Trump and my brother there. I think they do an excellent job, either one of them, but I think the cake goes with my brother, or the kefalta goes with my brother, so to speak. Below is the rest of the interview Trump did with JNS.org. Says, what is your assessment on President Obama's record on Israel? Donald Trump replies, I think President Obama is one of our worst things that has happened to Israel. I think he set back Israeli relations with the United States terribly. And for people and friends of mine who are Jewish, I don't know how they can support President Obama. He's been very bad for Israel. And I just got to say to that, you know, I'm very progressive. And I've liked a lot of President Obama's key points. I like that the gay marriage has been passed. I like that the Obamacare has been upheld. It helps out my friends there, those great people there at the insurance companies. They do a great job of taking care of people, as we can see. And what else have we seen under Obama? I like the National Defense Authorization Act. We got to keep these homegrown terrorists out of our country. These crazy small select group of Islamists, not ISIS, but these pro-Syrians, they're absolutely crazy. These people that support the Syrian government, they support genocide and gassings and whatnot. And you know the just Jews have quite a history with the gassings thing, so we're pretty much experts on that. And let's see what else has been done under Obama. We had credit card reform. I can't remember. Maybe that was under Bush, but obviously that has made some excellent changes to our system. And we had the bank bailout that also helped out some of my friends over there. They were really hurting. They weren't sure if they were going to get their $20 million bonuses that year. It was kind of a very scary time for them. And I'm glad it worked out. I mean, Obama's done some great things for Israel, but as far as his stance on Iran, it's been pretty soft on his stance with Iran. And I gotta admit, I'm pretty disappointed with that. But as far as the future goes, Obama's going to be out of office, so. Basically, I'm pretty much putting my chips on Trump or my brother here. I'm still not sure. I haven't gotten word if he's going to run or not. Maybe he'll call into the show. Who knows? Maybe he'll call into the show tonight. I think that'll be very interesting. So, Shalom, if you're out there listening, feel free to call in at any time if you have a comment, if you want to announce you're running, or if you just want to kind of say whatever you got to say, I guess. So let's go back to Donald Trump here, the Donald. Let's see what he's got to say. Question: What's your experience with Israel's business community, which has earned the country the well-known startup nation nickname? I know so many people from Israel. I have so many friends in Israel. First of all, the Israelis are great business people. You gotta love the merchants, man. We have been some great merchants throughout history, I'll tell you what. And your best ally is the merchant. Just a heads up to all you people out there, you got problems with the merchant. I don't understand what your problem is with the merchant. The merchant makes you money. If it wasn't for the merchant, there would be no America. If it wasn't for the Torah, and I agree with, I don't like Glenn Beck very much. Some of his right-wing views, they seem kind of racist to me, but he does support Israel, and he does support the Jewish people. And Glenn Beck said one time when he's talking to the great man, Reverend John Hagee, he said, all Western civilization comes from the Torah. And I could not agree more with Mr. Glenn Beck there. But moving on, reading Donald Trump's comments here. It says that the Israelis are great business people, and yes, they are. Look at their country. I mean, look at Israel. It's a beautiful place. It's beautiful. They don't rely on anybody else for money. No, we're self-sufficient in Israel. We're doing great there. We got all these startups. We got Microsofts in there. You got all these other large companies. We don't take any money from anybody. We're not a welfare state by any means. But moving on, he says they have a natural instinct for business and their startups are fantastic. That almost sounds a little bit anti-Semitic to me, but I'm willing to pass by that. I deal with the Israelis all the time, and I deal with people who are Jewish all the time, whether they are Israeli or not. Knowing what you know from negotiation in the business world, how would you approach the current nuclear talks with Iran? I would double up and triple up the sanctions. I would make them, the Iranians, want to make a deal. Right now, they're just toying with us. What would a good deal with Iran look like? You'd have to have on-site inspections anytime, anywhere to start off with, which we don't have at all. The whole deal is a terrible deal. There's no way the Iranians are going to adhere to any deal we make. And if you don't have on-site inspections anytime, anywhere, they, the P5 plus one nations, shouldn't make the deal. And right now, I think they're just tapping the United States along. We, America, have a bunch of babies negotiating. We don't have the good negotiators. They have the great negotiators, and they're making us look like fools. Excuse me, just one second. I want to get a sip of this Manischewitz here. It's delicious. Oh, that's a tasty beverage. You anti-Semites out there don't know what you're missing out on. The interviewer asked, what do you think about America funding the Palestinian Authority to the tune of $500 million per year? Look at those Palestinians. They're such a welfare state. They depend on foreign aid from everybody else, unlike Israel. I was going to compare them to another population of people that you guys have in America, but I don't want to open that can of worms. I'm not exactly thrilled by it. It's obvious we have to help people that respect us, that want things to be done and properly done. Not just there, the Palestinian Authority. We're giving money to all sorts of groups and people and countries that take advantage of the United States. So it's something that I'm not thrilled about. Your recent remarks on Mexican immigrants ignited controversy. Do you stand by your comments, or would you like to clarify them for the Jewish voters out there who might prioritize immigration as an election issue? I have a great respect for Mexico, and I love the Mexican people. I have many friendships in Mexico and with Mexican people. But Mexico is totally out-negotiating the United States at our borders and with respect to foreign trade. The people that are coming into this country, and not only from Mexico, many of these people, not all, but many, are not people that we should let into the country. Which obviously is just common sense. Since I made that statement, I've been greeted with tremendous support from so many people in the United States. We either have to have a border or we have no country. If you won the Republican presidential primary, who would you choose as a running mate? Too early to say. We're doing very well, but we'll see what happens. I will be looking and watching, but it's just too early to say. Trump responded. How did you feel to see the Chinese government actually respond to your comments accusing that country of stealing American jobs through currency manipulation? Look, China is like Mexico. They're taking advantage of the United States. They're laughing all the way to the bank. Of course, they're going to respond, and they said essentially, oh no, we love our trading partner, the United States. Well, of course, they should love us, but they're making a fortune off of us. But we should make nothing off of them. We get nothing out of the deal. Believe me, that would change if I become president. What broader principles should America apply to any negotiations, whether it be with Iran, China, Mexico, or other nations? I would have the best negotiators in the world, and we have them in this country. I know many of them, and I know the good ones. I know the bad ones. I know the overrated ones. I know the ones that think they're good, but they're not. We would have our best people and our smartest people negotiating deals for us. So there you have it, Donald Trump interview with the JNS.org. Totally reputable outlet. I totally support everything that they're doing. And You know, Donald Trump is a successful businessman, and I think maybe it is time for a successful merchant to head up the presidency in the United States. And I think no better merchant than Donald Trump for that position. I think we're going to see an exceptional uptake of financial the financial situation in America if Donald Trump gets into power. I think we're going to see the lower classes starting to be raised up, and we're going to be greater than we've ever been. We've always been great here in America, as you all know, but we will get greater than we've ever been under Donald Trump. And like I said, that is if my brother decides not to run. I think he's going to run. But there's no telling what could happen from now to 2016. Who knows? He could get killed by a Palestinian rocket attack because he is a dual citizen. So he does spend a lot of time there in the Holy Land. There's no telling. But God, I can't even say that. GD forbid that would ever happen to him. I see I have a call on the line. Caller, you are on the air. Hey, Israel, not exactly sure what's going on here. I'm Drew. I'm the host of the show, and I can't get into the network, and for whatever reason you're on the air. Who let you on the air? What's going on? Well, Drew, if you hadn't got the memo, which you probably didn't because you're a stupid goyim, is that the FCC passed a new regulation forcing people like myself onto networks such as yours, these hateful, bigoted, racist, Nazi, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic networks to provide a little diversity to the network. Well, I'm not really okay with that. Well, I don't care if you're okay with that, Drew. I'm going to drop your call because you sound like you sound like you're about to go Dylan Roof on me or something, and I do not like verbal assaults. You sound very, very angry. You sound very hateful, and so I have muted you. I'm not going to allow you back on. We got to censor hate speech, people. We got to censor this hate speech. We got to, as it said in the Old Testament, you got to cut the head off the snake. You got to dash the child against the rock. You know what I'm saying? You got to dash the child against the rock. You got to get rid of it. You got to nip it in the bud. And that's what I'm doing right now with Mr. Drew. I know he'll be on later, but he can wait. You know, his white privilege and all, he thinks he has the right to call into the show and interrupt me when I'm on a very important subject here, such as Donald Trump. And I found that very disrespectful and quite anti-Semitic, if you ask me. I think it's very anti-Semitic for him to even call into the show as a bigoted racist such as himself. Well, let's see here. We have quite a few articles to go over on the show tonight. CNN, this is funny stuff. This is Jewish comedy right here. I swear, it's the funniest comedy over here is Jewish comedy. CNN mistakes sex toy flag for ISIS flag at gay pride parade. The cable news network aired an exclusive report after one of its international reporters claimed she saw terrorist propaganda during a London event. Oh boy, I'm going to have to get another sip of Manischewitz for this one. This one really takes the kafelta. CNN reported Saturday that a man was flying an ISIS flag at London's gay pride parade, but it turned out to be a banner covered in sex toys. Oh boy, wow. She reported that the man, dressed in black and white, was waving what appeared to be a very bad mimicry, but what appeared to be a very clear attempt to mimic the ISIS flag, the black and white flag with a distinctive header, lettering. But both Paul and her CNN colleagues, including anchor Suzanne Malville, don't seem to notice that the flag actually consists of images of dildos and butt plugs. Dildos and butt plugs. You know how much we Jews love dildos and butt plugs. I bet you that was one of the tribe members there in the crowd holding that. I just want to give a shout out to whoever that was holding the flag. I know you're one of us, and you did a good job. You're a great tribe member. I don't know if you're Israeli. I started to say Israeli, but I'm sure you're a tribe member. Only one of us would do stuff like that. You know, you guys know, even you anti-Semites know this kind of shit. But it says, consisted of images of dildos and butt plugs, rendered in the style of ISIS. Even Paul noticed the writing on the flag wasn't in Arabic, adding it looked like it could be gobbledygook, but it's very distinctive. The ISIS flag. The ISIS flag looks like a bunch of sand nigger gobbledygook to me anyway, so I seem to be the only person who has spotted this, and nobody seems to be raising any questions, Paul added, saying that neither event organizers nor the police knew about the flag. She suggested later that it might be a subtle joke. Oh, boy. It was a very subtle, and us Brits, known for our subtle sense of humor. I think they're trying to appropriate Jewish culture there. Us Jews, we are the ones that paved the way for subtle sense of humor. That is what we're known for, not the Brits. They're brash, very brash. Racist crowd of people, very, very homophobic and insensitive of other groups of people. But moving on, but I'm not sure that everyone, if they had spotted it, might have thought it was particularly amusing, Paul added. Malavio saying it might be a parody. So that's funny to me. I thought that was a funny article. Let's see what else we can find here. I think I got something on Mr. Well, I can't even call him Mr. Dylan Roof. Dylan Storm Roof, that terrible racist Nazi white supremacist that attacked those innocent 9 black people in that church there. It's just the terrible, worst act of violence I have ever seen. Pills in the comparison of 9/11. As you note, we never took down any flags or banned any flags due to 9/11. Walmart was still selling the Al-Qaeda flag after 9/11, but this boy, I swear to God, GD, I swear to GD, it's the most evil act to ever be perpetrated on Americans on U.S. soil. And, I don't know. Maybe I don't really have a whole lot of, Dylan Roof material up here, but, I guess I'll give a little commentary on it. As a Jew, I find it very, very offensive, this, Confederate flag. Especially being flown over the South Carolina State House. It's very, very offensive to me. And, you know, I feel like more and more in America, I feel like I'm living in Nazi Germany. You know, I go on the internet and I see websites like Stormfront. I see websites like The Daily Stormer. I see websites like 4chan, 4chan.net/poll, 8chan.whatever/poll, these terrible, terrible, despicable, subhuman people that post on these message boards and these different websites. They're just utterly distasteful to me, and I kind of wish we could have a Walls of Jericho moment with them and, you know, blast the horn. You see where I'm getting here. We're blasting our horns here in the mainstream media. And eventually those walls are going to come crumbling down of the white supremacist system here. Because let's face it, we live in a system of white supremacy. You know, from this radio gig that I do here, I do different shows, or at least now I'm going to start doing different shows across the country on different hate networks to help liven it up, to add a little bit of flavor to it, a little Jewish pizzazz to it, if you know what I'm talking about. And you know, I'm only getting paid $200,000 for this gig, only $200,000 a year. And as you can tell, my radio voice is spot on. I have a knack for radio. And I feel like that the reason for that is there is still systemic white supremacy in America that is affecting my ability to make a decent living. Because, you know, I have to think about what I spend my money on. You know, I was thinking about buying a new Mercedes the other day, and, you know, I had to juggle that. You know, well, firstly, I had to juggle it because it is a German-made car, but you know, Germany is pretty much, you know, pretty much been cuckolded to fucking hell. So they're pretty much not really racist anymore like they used to be under that evil Hitler. But, you know, I had to kind of juggle whether or not to buy this Mercedes due to it being German. But on top of that, I had to juggle it because of my measly $200K a year. I mean, it's. I should be making at least $400K a year. This is freaking ridiculous. You know, I'm a star. Why wouldn't I make $400,000 a year other than systemic white supremacy in America, hampering my chances as a Jew? And I'm also white. I mean, come on, I'm white too, guys. You know, I could get a little piece of this, you know. I mean, come on. Yeah, what's up with that? What's up with that? But moving on, this system of white supremacy is terrible. It totally influenced Dylann Roof. I mean, when you look at the commentators on the air today, such as Rush Limbaugh and you know, I like Sean Hannity. I mean, he likes Israel a lot, but you know, he's kind of a right winger along with Glenn Beck and. You know, Savage there, Wiener Savage, you know, he's Jewish, but, you know, he talks out against that circumcision. We can't have that. I mean, that is, that's a religious right. That's a religious right that's protected by our religious faith. We, here in America, we have, freedom of religion. And, you're free to do whatever you want as long as, you have a religious basis for it. And so, you know, I stand up against Mr. Savage there, even though I you know, he is a Jew and he does support Israel, but I disagree with him on circumcision. I mean, it's our right. How dare anyone try to stop us from mutilating our children? It's not right. Not right at all. But, you know, those sand niggers, I tell you, I you know, as much as I like to preach diversity and what have you, you know, I like pretty much anybody but those sand niggers, the dune coons. They're a terrible bunch, and they you know, they like to, and a lot of my buddies are behind this campaign of stopping female genital mutilation. It's very common within the Islamic community. They like to, you know, they like to clip the clit, if you know what I'm talking about. It's pretty gruesome stuff. It's very disgusting. I find it abhorrent, and you know, it's child abuse. So I think that that needs to be banned. That in no way should that be protected under religious freedom. That's absolutely distasteful. You know, I mean, we in the Orthodox community, I'm Orthodox myself. You know, we like to, we shave our women's heads, and they basically, you know, I guess decide to get wigs because they feel like they look ugly or something. And, you know, that sounds bad to some groups of people, but, you know, it's really not that bad compared to having your clit cut off. That's pretty rough stuff, and, you know. So those Salafists, those crazy Salafists, those dune coons, yeah, I completely stand against them. I don't want them in my country, but boy, I love diversity. You guys got to admit, you look around you, you got to love this diversity. I mean, Bruce, you got like people like, Caitlyn Jenner, and you got people like the Bahar Mustafa over there promoting diversity at Goldsmith, one of my One of my cousins is actually related to the guy that that's named after, Mr. Goldsmith. Goldsmith's University there in the UK. Bahar Mustafa, she's promoting diversity. I love her. I mean, she's kind of sand niggery, but she's not too much. I mean, she's not into cutting off female genitals or anything. So I don't have any problem with her. And yeah, just look out my window in San Francisco here. It's a beautiful city. And, you know, I just see all the diversity. I love it. I just love looking at it. You know, I don't really like to get out there in that. I'm kind of humble myself. You know, I don't like to get out there in the middle of it, but I like looking at it outside my window. And as I drive by side streets, you know, like Martin Luther King Street and whatnot, I love doing that. I just love seeing them. They're just so cute. Those people, those diverse people. And, you know, I think we need more of it in America. You know, I'm really sick of all of these white people that I keep seeing around. And, you know, even though I am white myself, you know, I mean, I'm Jewish, so I'm white, but I'm Jewish. So I'm Jewish, but I'm white. You know, I'm white, but I'm Jewish. And, you know, I just get tired of seeing all these white people around. They just look so boring. They look pale, stale, and male, as Rand Paul said, the great libertarian over there. He loves us, but don't tell his supporters that, because some of them might lose some traction because of that. Because, you know, Israel, the state of Israel right now is not too hot on the global scale. We're kind of seen as being a bunch of... sad to say, but a lot of people in the world see us as bigots, and I can't, you know, they see us bigots and racist. They think that we hate the Palestinian people and you know, that we're committing genocide or that they're being imprisoned over there in Palestine. But I've got to say to the people out there that is just absolutely not true. You need to get your head straightened out. You need to listen to some of the rabbis, the chief rabbis there in Israel. They'll set you straight. Read a little bit of Haaretz, and you'll get your brain straightened out, because they tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and that goes for all Jews. And that's why my brother, he's got this crazy idea about running for president. I don't know. I really don't know what's gonna come from it, but I want to see it happen. I want to see him and Trump run against each other for the Republican ticket. And you know, he's got this. This crazy idea of exempting all Jews from U.S. law, because, I know we got a lot of anti-Semites out there, but can you name, just reference, one time where a Jew in America has ever broken any laws? Just go ahead, just name one crime that they've ever broken, and I guarantee you I can shoot it down by using mainstream sources. Because we know that those mainstream sources don't lie, because they're ran by Jews as well. So, you know, it's all confirmed. You just can't you can't make this shit up. I tell you, you just can't make this shit up. But back to Dylan Storm Roof. You know, I'm really proud to see Americans come together, all 15 of them, you know, against the Confederate flag. You know, we had an overwhelming majority of people, never mind the convoys of trucks and vehicles driving around with Confederate flags. Those people are minorities, and they don't matter. Their opinion doesn't matter, because they don't represent the majority of people. The people have spoken, and you know, we want this rebel flag, this Confederate flag, this symbol of racism and hatred and bigotry in America, take it down. The symbol of slavery, just utter slavery of those poor African people. And I'll tell you this, anti-Semites over here at Renegade Broadcasting, you know, they like to talk about how the Jews brought the slaves to America. And I just say utter hogwash, because you look at the mainstream media, well, you know, these are just conspiracy theories. You know, you look at the mainstream media, and, you know, they're not talking about how Jews brought blacks to America. They're not talking about how the Jews brought blacks to America. You know, they're talking about how these evil white people brought blacks to America. And, you know, my friends over there at Main Street Media, you know, they're a part of the tribe. You know, they wouldn't lie. They wouldn't lie to you. And that's just the truth. That's just the truth of the matter. And, you know, the my friends there, they wouldn't lie to you at all. And, you know, so I think it's great they're taking down this rebel flag. It's a symbol of slavery that is committed by all white people. You know, here's another point. You know, these people over here at Renegade Broadcasting, they like to act like they don't. I'm not guilty for slavery. I wasn't born then. I wasn't alive then. And all I got to say is that, well, you're white, boy. You know, you grew up in this country and you're white. You're guilty. You're guilty of your fathers, your grandfathers, your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's crimes. You know, there's no exemption. Yeah, it passes on generation to generation. And, you know, luckily, I come from a tribe of... keep fucking up this accent for some reason, or this voice. I apologize for that. Now, where was I? Well, I gotta say, you know, I'm glad I come from a tribe of people that have, you know, we've never historically committed any crimes upon any group of people. I mean, everything was justified within God's law, and, you know, we always followed God's law. Read the Old Testament. Read the Torah, and we were always in line with what God told us to do. We never went against it. We never worshiped false idols. We never did any of that. You know, so I'm glad to come from a strong race of people that have morals. You know, we created Western morals, just like Glenn Beck said. We created Western civilization. And, you know, I take pride in that, but all these white people, they need to apologize for their role in slavery, just as I take credit for all that Jews have done throughout history, because I'm Jewish. White people need to apologize for all things done in the name of white people by white people throughout history. And you know what? I'm going to say cheers to that. I'm going to take a little drink of my Manischewitz here. Oh, that's the good stuff. But moving forward, I think I got another. Here I see some of my family members here have decided to make a truce. I love this, man. It's, you know, the New World Order is really coming together. It's really starting to show. I'm so happy that I am able to see this day. Headline, this is in the New York Times, Rockefeller and Rothschild dynasties join forces. Two of the world's best-known banking families are combining forces after RIT Capital Partners, the investment trust led by Jacob Rothschild, said on Wednesday that it was buying a minority stake in the investment and wealth management firm Rogenfelder, yeah, some of my tribe members there, Rogenfelder, Financial Services. Under the terms of the deal, RIT Capital will buy a 37% stake in Rockefeller Financial Services, a firm founded in 1882 that now handles about $34 billion in client assets. Gotta love that. You gotta love it. I bet all you anti-Semites out there are pissed off, but it's, you see, I want to educate, you know, you anti-Semites out there on this. You're just jealous of Jewish superiority. You're just jealous because Jews, you know, such as the Rockefellers here, the Rogenfelders and the Rothschilds, we're just better than you. And you white people out there, you just can't admit it, that we're better than you at everything, especially business making and especially at mercantilism. We are the top dogs. And if you cannot admit our supremacy of that, then you are an anti-Semite, and you're just jealous. You're just jealous that we're better than you. No, you know, they always use these fancy arguments. You know, they use these arguments like, oh, well, Jews are They have a disproportionate control of the media. They have a disproportionate control of finance. And they have disproportionate control of banking and of foreign policy and immigration and, you know, pretty much everything. And it's not that we have a disproportionate control. It's just that, well, in a way, we do. We do have a disproportionate control as far as the percentage of our population, but it's not because of some conspiracy. It's just that we're better than you. We're better, and you just can't admit it. That's why Israel's the number one startup country capital in the world. We don't take a dime from anybody else. We're totally self-sufficient. We produce all of our own energy, our own technology. We take care of things in Israel. We don't need U.S. Hardware. We don't need F-16s. We don't need the U.S. to back us. You know, we'll take on Iran. We'll take on Iran any day of the week. We'll take them out. No problem. No problem. It's just like David and Goliath all over again. And, you know, we're prepared for it. But these anti-Semites, they drive me wild. They're just a bunch of losers. You know, they're pissed off because they're inferior people. They're stupid. They're inbred. You know, they're a bunch of Southern whites that are inbred. They're racist. And, it's just because they haven't accepted that they're basically the dregs of humanity. And they're nothing but pretty much cattle to be to fleece. You know, they're the sheeple. And, it's up to us Jews out there to lead the sheeple, you know, just as the Bible talks about, you got to lead your flock and, you got to be a pastor, even though I guess it's kind of New Testament, but it's still right on in its teaching, you know, the pastor of the pasture. And, you got to lead these people to the light because they're too stupid, to figure it out themselves. They try to kill you because you're just, trying to lead them. And it's rather unfortunate, but I am glad to see, I'm glad to see the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds have joined dynasties. I know they've kind of pretended to go against each other for a while, but I'm glad that the climate is finally there for them to really come out in the open and announce their partnership. Here's another good headline that I'm happy to see out of Germany. A German Ethics Council calls for incest between siblings to be legalized by government. You know, this is so progressive. I'm glad to see the world has really decided, it seems, of the past week to really start pushing for progress. And, I see here's a related story how Greece is about to go down. And I'm glad to see that. You know, the New Testament was written in Greek. And, I kind of harbor some hatred towards the Greeks for that because they had a role to play in the New Testament. It's really set us back in this world, us Jewish people. All these Christian Zionists out there, they really are antithetical to what Israel is really about. You know, we don't want them thinking that they have some kind of stake in this. We don't want them worshiping God because, you know, that's our God. That wasn't their God. You know, that book is totally counterfeit. And Jesus, you know, it says in the Talmud that Jesus is boiling in a pot of excrement. That's what happened to Jesus. He's a false Messiah. You know, we're waiting for that Messiah to come back. Look up that video of Benjamin Netanyahu talking to Rabbi, I believe it's Rabbi Yosef, about the coming of the Messiah. The rabbi tells him, you know, quicken the rabbi. Quicken the Savior. Do everything you can to quicken the coming of the Messiah, because we really need him. You know, we can't dominate this planet without him. You know, we're waiting. But anyway, Germany's National Ethics Council has called for an end to the criminalization of incest between siblings after examining the case of a man who had four children with a sister. And, you know, all I got to say to this is, there's some people out there, especially you racist and bigots that are like, you know, what is this guy talking about? He's talking about incest between people. And, you know, all I'd say to that is, you know, they're talking about incest between siblings here, but I would go the full Monty because, you know, I touch back to the great patriarch within Judaism. You know, our great patriarch Lot and the account where he left Sodom and, you know, they told his wife, or they told them not to ever look back when they left the city, and his wife turned back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And so Lot ended up with his two daughters, and his daughters decided to get him drunk. it just sounds like a Jewish sitcom, doesn't it? So his daughters to try to get him drunk, and, you know, had sex with him. Can you believe that? Two nights in a row, each one of them had sex with him, and I had a child. From their own father. And, you know, it's just an example of great Jewish stick-to-itiveness because they had no other Jews around to mix with. So, you know, they were willing to go the full mile there and get their father drunk and have sex with him just to continue the great Jewish bloodline that we see today. And boy, is it great. Moving on, I'm reading this article here. Patrick Stubing, I'm sure he's one of us, I love him, who was adopted as an infant and met his sister in his 20s, has launched several appeals since being in prison for incest in 2008, and his lengthy legal battle has prompted widespread public debate. Sexual relations between siblings or between parents and their children are forbidden under Section 173 of the German Criminal Code, and offenders can face years in prison. I'm not going to read much more of this. Basically, it struck it down. I think it's great. It's all for human rights, you know. Incest should be illegal. I wish we could get something like this going in America. I guess for now, I don't know. Is it illegal to commit incest? I'm not really sure. At least, though, the Southern whites, they obviously... If it is illegal, they don't follow it. You know, they're all inbred down there. They're a bunch of hicks and stupid retards flying their racist flag. It's absolutely terrible. I'm glad they're taking it down, though. There was a great woman I saw the other day that she climbed up the flagpole there in South Carolina. You know, she used her monkey grip. No pun intended. She used her monkey grip to climb the flagpole there in South Carolina. She took down the Confederate flag, and you know, I gotta commend her. I mean gorilla grip. There used to be a little console game you go around. I remember seeing them in the Pizza Inns. You know, when I was slumming, I'd go in the Pizza Inns occasionally, and you know, I wouldn't tip, and I just kind of fuck with the waiters and see how much they were willing to take because, you know, they're just going anyway, so no big deal. But I used to, I occasionally throw a quarter in that gorilla grip thing, and it always told me I was a wet noodle. But, you know, yeah, I meant to say the gorilla. I meant to say the gorilla grip there. But it looks like I'm running out of my government allocated time here. It looks like I've only got about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to go ahead and try to wrap up what I had to talk about. And I want to close it. I want to close my segment here on. This is from the independent.co.uk, and it says, "Why it matters that 26 million people have changed their Facebook profile picture to a rainbow flag." And you got to admire the guys at Facebook that can calculate how many people have a rainbow flag as their profile picture. It just shows the Jewish ingenuity over there, the ability to scan images and find out just how many of them have a certain pattern to them, such as a rainbow. It's just amazing. Mark Zuckerberg is a genius of our time. If he'd be willing to take me into the bed, I swear I'd take him. He's a sexy little Jew boy there. You know, I love. God, do it. But yeah, that Mark Zuckerberg, he's a great tribe member over there at the Facebook. But it says, in the wake of the landmark Supreme Court decision that made same-sex marriage a right nationwide, a whopping 26 million people slapped a rainbow flag over their Facebook photos to celebrate pride. The movement, fomented by a photo editing tool that Facebook launched on 26th of June, is a response to major news events that we've seen before. Profile picture change campaigns have become as common as cat videos on certain social networks. There were green filters for Iranian protesters in 2009. You want to know who was behind that? The green filters in Iran? The green party there in Iran? Oh, yeah, that was us. That was us. And Mitt Romney was all on board for that shit, too. And I, you know, kind of hate that we didn't see a Mitt Romney presidency, because he would have been a great supporter of Jews and Israel. But also, Facebook had yellow ribbons for Hong Kong in 2014, black dots to oppose sexual violence in India, Arabic NS to support Iraqi Christians. Can you believe that? Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg, he's so pro-diversity, he even supports Christians every time, you know, every once in a while, he'll support some Christians. But it says that famously, in 2013, the LGBT rights group Human Rights Campaign got several million Facebook users to change their picture to its logo, a coup the organization was quick to describe as a transformative moment for equality. You hear that? A coup. A coup the organization was quick to describe as a transformative momentum or moment for equality. And what did the great President Obama, first black president in America, the first, he says he's the most Jewish president. Golly, golly gosh, I swear to God, I've got to go back through and start looking back at some of these presidents, because, you know, Eisenhower was a Jew, and Abraham Lincoln liked to dress like a Jew, and he liked to publish articles in the New York Times, or Marx liked to publish articles in the New York Times in support of Lincoln. So, you know, I kind of support that. I love Marx. But, you know, I almost believe that maybe we've had some more Jewish presidents than Obama, but I would give him a pass. He says he has a Jewish soul. Maybe he does. You know, if Rachel Dolezal could be a white person and Bruce Jenner could be a woman, then I guess that Barack Obama could be a Jew. So, and Obama said, you know, he was going to fundamentally transform America, and this says a transformative moment for equality. So, you know, I guess we could give him credit based on that. That's pretty much where I stand. But it says, but now as then, one big question remains. Does changing your profile picture ever actually transform anything? That is a good question, isn't it? On first glance, of course, the answer would appear to be no. The momentary, riskless act of editing my profile picture is decidedly not what persuaded five Supreme Court justices to side with marriage equality. The flicker of colorful squares in the newsfeed is not what will say in workplace discrimination against LGBT people. What I'm disappointed, this independent.co.uk article, you know, they don't mention the Q, you know, the LGBTQ, and the Q, the queers, you know, they're not getting represented like they should be. You know, they're not getting equal representation. And, you know, I'm going to call you out, independent.uk. I'm going to get on the phone. To my brother. I know he's got some pull over there in the UK, and I'm going to put pressure on you for not mentioning the Q. Maybe you'll add the Q in that. Wouldn't it be funny if they actually did add the Q to that? But moving on, LGBT people in 29 U.S. states. Profile picture campaigns are effective in showing the friends and family in your social network that are brainwashed fucking morons. I mean, excuse me, I must have read something out of line there. It says, profile picture campaigns are effective in showing the friends and family in your social networks that you have some affinity for a political candidate or cause, said Philip Howard, a sociologist at the University of Washington and the director of Digital Activism Research Project. Policy changes are not usually the outcome. But wait, marriage equality, like so many thorny issues, is not just about policy change. It's also crucially about changing social attitudes toward an entire group of people. And it's here, and there could be a real role for social media campaigns. See, our social attitudes are informed largely by what we believe is standard or acceptable in our social group as a whole. And every day, whether we realize it or not, we receive lots of different messages on these norms, some unspoken. I can't come to work naked. Some based in law. I can't kill even my most hated commenters. And I read it again. Some based in law. I can't kill my most hated commenters. Most hated commenters. Hate. 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 That's bad. Why would you say that in this article? You're supposed to be about love. You know, you're joking about not being able to kill your most hated commenters because of the law. I mean, I say do it. I take the Nike campaign. Just do it. It depends on who you are. You could get away with it. So very literal, buckle up or just say no. Profile pictures arguably are the most particular and effective type of message. They don't dictate how you should or must behave, as laws and PSAs typically do. Instead, they simply tell you how your peers are behaving. In other words, they support marriage equality. Why don't you? Why don't you, Goyim? When people try to change behavior, they often focus on telling people what they should do. The social psychologist Melanie Tannenbaum, oh boy, another tribe member, I love you. Melanie, shout out to you, I love you. She explained in 2013, we often underestimate just how strongly we respond to what other people actually do. That's actually what her voice sounds like. I've talked to her before on the phone. Never mind, she sounds like a man. She's transgender, so it's all good. Case in point, Facebook itself has found that people tend to change their profile pictures in response to their friends' picture changes. In a paper on the HRC's 2013 campaign published this February, Facebook data scientists found that users were more likely to adopt the equal sign icon if they saw multiple friends doing so. The more friends they saw to a point, the more likely they were to change. That social influence was more of a factor, in fact, than even religion, politics, or age. And all I've got to say to that, because I'm running out of time here, I've already gone over a little bit, since I'm a Jew, I get a little extra time because the Holocaust and all that, they got to give me a little bit of a grace period. We came up with the idea of grace periods, you know, through the credit cards and all that. So I get a little bit of a grace period here. But, as far as the, users on Facebook changing their profile pictures based on what other people post. This is why, you know, my friends there are trying to remove the Confederate flag, is because if more people on Facebook post the Confederate flag, then more people on Facebook post the Confederate flag. And that's truly a tragedy of our time. It's basically the modern day equivalent of the Holocaust, seeing all these hate symbols. You know, seeing these symbols it's traumatizing for people like myself. You know, I had family members that survived the Holocaust. None of them died, of course, luckily. But it's truly troubling and shocking to me, and that's why we need to start banning these symbols, because the more that they're seen online, the more that people are going to change their profile pictures to things like the Confederate flag or swastikas or what have you. So we can't have that, and it's truly terrible, but I see my time is running short. As always, I overstayed my welcome, but that's no problem, because you Goyim are going to take it anyway. You're going to sit there and listen, I'm sure. So I guess I'll leave you with this. You know, quit being a bunch of racist bigots. Just learn to love and let love and be, you know, be tolerant. You know, I talk about the sand niggers, but, you know, they'll pay any mind to that. You know, you guys should love the Muslims. They're great people, you know, to you, you white people out there, because that's the majority of the audience. You know, you guys need to deal with them, but, you know, I'm pretty much going to take a pass on them. So I'll leave you with that. You know, get rid of the Confederate flag. Hail gay marriage. Hail Barack Obama, you know, greatest president we've had so far. I don't know if he's the most Jewish, but he's pretty damn good, if you ask me, as far as Jews. But, you know, Heil Israel and, you know, praise Yahweh. And that's pretty much how I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go ahead and get off the air. I guess Andrew's going to take over. And, you know, fuck white supremacy and hail Israel. To the Return of Tyr. I apologize for what you just had to hear. couldn't get on the air. The freaking Jew asshole wouldn't let me on my own damn show. Apparently, the FCC has decided to pass some new regulation, basically requiring that we allow some diversity into our hate networks. So I do apologize for that. If you would like to call in and maybe respond to some of the things he said, please do. The number is 347-633-9657. And even if you agree with the things that Israel said there, feel free to call in and I'll debate you. The number is 347-633-9657. You know, this government encroachment's really starting to get on my nerves. And this is just another example of how quick they can push things through right in front of our face that never get challenged. And, you know, it's really triggering me. It upsets me. And, you know, I think it should be removed. I think it should be banned because it bothers me. And, you know, the way that people feel is more important than truth or facts or anything else out there. If you feel a certain way, it should provoke a governmental reaction, law, regulation. It should promote something of that effect. I mean, it's just so ridiculous that they can just do things like this. Just force us to allow some freaking Jew on the network like that. It's utterly disgusting. But welcome to the show. This is the return of Tyr. This isn't the return of Israel. This is the return of Tyr. Tyr being a Northern European god of sacrifice, sacrificed his own hand to save all of humanity and the gods, and truly a figure to look up to. What a god, Yahweh, the god of Mr. Israel there. You know, what did Yahweh sacrifice for humanity? What has he ever sacrificed? That's a good question. He's the god of jealousy, isn't he not? Can't stand other people worshiping false idols, which Mr. Israel mentioned there, how his people have never worshiped false idols, but I'll tell you, you're completely wrong. Just read your own book. You worship Baal and many other false idols. So you're a fraud. You're a freaking liar. But I guess that doesn't matter to most people because they're too busy, you know, believing what the Jew mainstream says about everything. I'm trying to think of some of the, just the rhetoric coming from this guy. It just, you know, he's so bigoted. He will not tolerate, you know, white people and what white people want to do. You know, he has his little homeland in Israel to go back to, but we have no homeland. We have nowhere to go. We have nowhere to run. We can't even, you know, get people to respect the fact that we do have a culture and that we do have an ethnic interest just like everybody else. No, they want to put out articles like Morris Dees and that other freaking Richard Cohen or whatever his name is, some fucking Jew name, of course, about how whites are, it's a white supremacy international. It's the UN of white supremacy. And all these articles that we see coming out with titles like that, talking about how white nationalists want a homeland for only white people. Okay, yeah. What's wrong with that? You freaking Jews have your own country, don't you? You got somewhere to run to when you commit fucking crimes all over the goddamn planet, you piece of shit. How many times have we seen these Jews that commit crimes, whether it be in Russia, whether it be here in America, or anywhere else, that are wanted? They are fucking criminals, and they run back to Israel, and Israel takes them. They're never extradited. But look at our people. Look at Ernst Zundel, immigrated into America from Canada, previously a German citizen. Had been living in Canada, I believe, most of his life. Immigrated into, not North Carolina, Tennessee. And apparently, you know, he had his house raided by a SWAT team because he overstayed his visa. And the story that I've heard based on that is that, yes, he did overstay his visa, and that he was, in fact, notified by the government, but they sent it to the wrong address, and it never made it to him. So he didn't even know what the hell he's being picked up for. Terrible. Spends freaking years and years in prison in Canada and in Germany for printing material. Printing freaking material. Show me where anybody other than white people have been put in prison for printing anything. That's a really good question. That just came to mind, but thinking about it, I can't think of anybody else that's ever been put in prison for saying anything other than white people. If somebody can show me an example, I hope that somebody does dig it up, because I would be interested to find out if anybody else, in at least America, has ever been put in prison for printing, you know, text on paper or otherwise. Because I don't think it's ever happened in America. I'm sure it's happened in Africa and what have you, but I don't think it's ever happened in America at all. It's pretty interesting. But this Israel character, his stupid radio announcer voice, so cheesy, man. Like, what's up with these people? Who do they think they're fooling? I really hope they're not fooling you guys. Because they've fooled a lot of our people for a long time, haven't they? But I think we're finally getting to the point where they're not going to be fooling us much longer. And I'm trying to think of some of his other points that he made in the show. He's bragging about the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds getting together. It's so disgusting. You know, we've known for a while that the Rockefellers were the Rogenfelders, but, you know, it's just amazing to hear these Jews come out and just admit it like they do. It's so frustrating. But we'll give out the call number one more time. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that listen to the show that have never called in. Because I can get a rough idea of the numbers. I know there's a lot of people I've never called in that probably listen to this show every week. And, you know, maybe not call in tonight, but, you know, I think we need to start hearing from more people. I don't mean that as, an aside to other callers or anything like that, because we do have some pretty good callers, but I think the more voices that we hear, the more support that we're going to get. And the more perspectives that we hear, even if they're contrary, that's one thing. I like to be challenged. I don't always want to hear people that call in and give me support. I do like to be challenged sometimes. But then again, I don't like these asshole trolls that call in that aren't really challenging. They're just dissenting, but in such a way that is just so baseless that you can't even really respond to it. It's just nonsense or what have you. So if you're one of those people out there that are listening and you're like, yeah, this guy's talking about me, I used to be one of those people. They used to listen and never would call in because I was afraid to call in, afraid of what people might say or think. You know, I've never been the most social person in the world. Never been the kind of person to assert myself, I guess, or what my opinion was. I've always liked to listen to people. But I came to the point where I realized that most of the people that were speaking, and this, in a way, maybe it sounds a little bit egotistical, but I realized that most of the people that were speaking, or a lot of the people that I was hearing speaking at the time, were completely full of crap, or they had their own problems and were pretty much as valid as I am as a voice. Or what's the third option? We're just, you know, maybe they were intelligent but weren't able to, and this is bad. They're intelligent, but they're not able to really communicate with other people through, you know, through a show, which maybe I'm not the best at that either. I'm starting to lean towards that after that, thinking about it that way. But I see that I have a caller. I got a 508. 508, you are on the air.
Drew, it's Kyle. Listen, this is real guy. We've got to get him back. Okay, we're going to have him on, I'd say at least every week for the first hour. This guy's charisma. He's smooth on the radio. I mean, like, you're pretty good, Drew, but you know his. I mean, he's funny.
I know.
It's great. No,
I think we both agree that Jews really are the master race, but we're trying our best to hold on to what we got, right?
Yeah, you know, even when I just act like a Jew, it makes me better. You know, when I put on the Jew voice, I just feel myself kind of get notched up a little bit. Yes, I'm still Goyim, but I feel a little bit better. You know, people take me a little bit more seriously, and, you know, they're afraid.
Yeah.
It's great, you know.
Yeah, so, it pisses me off, but you know what? I mean, you know, I guess he is pretty popular with the crowd, you know. CNN, I bet, would say that he's probably, like, most people agree with him. Just like they do, most people agree with taking down, you know, overwhelming support for taking down the Confederate flag. So, you know, maybe we do need a little bit of diversity just to help boost the numbers.
Seriously, no, I bet Israel would do very well on talk radio. He'd be the next Michael Savage.
He could be. He could be.
You get tens of millions. The Christian Zionists would just love his name to start off with. Oh, yeah.
I bet you the show will get 6 million listeners. I'm going to have to check on it next week.
You mean you don't usually get 6 million listeners each week? Those are the numbers I was running in the back end. So, you know.
Yeah,
I
don't pay too much attention to it.
Anyway,
maybe you'll get 6 million more.
Good show. I wanted to call in, promote the video I just did, just threw it together, about the anti-white professors,
mm-hmm.
and say that National Youth Front seems to be they're cooking something up that's coming out tomorrow.
Yep.
And it's related to the video, so pay attention to that, just helping them promote that. And I think it's very important to call out these anti-white professors and anti-whites pretty much all over. And
yep.
really question all of these diversity officers and what they're talking about, what they're calling for. And it is
mm-hmm.
it's just so sickening, Drew, to see this being done in our country.
Yeah, well, I think basically, I mean, I came to the conclusion years ago that, you know, we like to think of America as our country because we live in it and there's, you know, things that we are proud about of the country.
I have blood ties.
Say that again.
True, you do. We have genetic history with this country.
My forefathers fought in the Revolutionary War, so I go all the way back pretty much.
I'm largely Irish, but my Irish relatives mainly came here pretty early on, the 1700s
mm-hmm.
or earlier. And the Hunt side, they've been here since the 1600s. I can
mm-hmm.
trace it back there. Yeah, I still have some more recent European additions.
Yeah.
But I have ties to this country. And some people who just put forward, you know, oh, just giving up the whole country, going back to Europe, with our tail between our legs, that really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because we built this country as white Europeans, as Americans. And American used to just mean pretty much white American. That's what people thought of when they heard the term American. You know, blue-eyed and blonde hair at one point. 50% of the children being born in America used to have blue eyes, basically a century ago. Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty wild. And I mean, until the 1960s, we were, what, 90% of the population?
Yeah, about that. Almost 90%. And we were allowed to pretty much live segregated lifestyles. Diversity wasn't really enforced the way it is now back then.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, nothing was as degenerate.
Yeah,
there was some
degeneracy
going on in the 60s, don't get me wrong. But it was nothing compared to what we're seeing now.
Mm-hmm.
The White House wasn't painted up with a rainbow.
Oh, and that, like, did they do that of the, you know, on the day that it was passed in the Supreme Court?
It was the night of it.
So,
the sun started going down. Oh, yeah, it was planned way in advance. So they knew.
Yeah.
They knew what the ruling was
going
to be.
Yeah, Facebook with their little thing where you can make a rainbow, you know, profile picture. It was all, like, planned ahead of time.
I see that the Pro-Defamation League Facebook profile has a Happy Merchant rainbow. That's good.
There you go.
You know, I actually founded – I shouldn't admit this, but it's probably on the record somewhere. I founded the idea of a Pro-Defamation League back in when I was guest hosting Dennis Fetcho's show on Oracle Broadcasting. And this was,
yep.
It was in early 2012. Probably. So, thanks.
Yeah,
Kyle.
I remember that. I remember back those days. Thanks, Kyle.
I was definitely not at the same level I was on some things, but I did know that the Jews were a big problem.
Well, it's like me doing the show on transracialism or white African American 2 weeks before the Rachel Dozol thing, and everybody's talking about transracialism all of a sudden. So apparently I was a little ahead of the curve on that one as well.
I'm surprised people aren't calling that one a hoax. It could be. I don't think so. Because that just seemed like a very elaborate hoax to play in advance. It seemed like this could be authentic.
Yeah.
But it was weird timing, wasn't it? You do your transracial show, and then that comes up. Some of the stuff I do attribute to synchronicity, but the fact of the matter is that in some ways I feel like there is a Truman Show-like control grid that is that could be used at any point to make things that happen in synchronicity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a natural order to it, too. So it's hard to distinguish. That's something that I always was very interested in. You know, the synchronicity people try to find in movies, that's obviously manufactured for the most part. But in your daily life, you can experience insane synchronicity. The Renegade Roadshow was just absolutely filled with it. And we were all noticing it as well. That was an interesting experience, where multiple people can actually share that synchronicity with each other. It happens when I'm listening to Renegade, too. Somebody, you know, talking about a banana, and I've got a banana in my hand or something. You know, as an example. That happens all the time. But I guess maybe some people don't experience it as much. Carl Jung was very interested in it. Anyway, Drew, I don't want to take up too much of your time here. Just wanted to give you a ring, tell you it's a good show, and promote that video.
All right, no problem. Thanks for calling in, Kyle. And Kyle's referring to the video titled Anti-White Professors Inciting Racial Hatred and Violence. That is over there on the Renegade Broadcasting YouTube channel. You can check it out. And I was in contact with one of the guys from the National Youth Front today, and he was telling me about their campaign that they're going to start tomorrow, titled hashtag Fire Gundy, and the Twitter account to follow for that campaign would be at Fire Grundy Now. and that's Grundy. And they're talking about this black female professor that tweeted things such as, "Why is white America so reluctant to identify white college males as a problem population?" Just reverse that and imagine the fallout from such a thing. So if you're out there listening to this live, or maybe you're listening to this tomorrow morning, afternoon, what have you, try to join in on the campaign to fire Grundy, because she is a racist bigot. She's anti-white. And I'm trying to remember what university that is. I wish the Twitter account had some more information on it, but you know, we're kind of low on resources, so shit happens, I guess. But be on the lookout for that. I think we really need to try our best to get these different professors removed, not so much as a what difference is it going to make, but I see it as it's going to raise awareness. If we finally get somebody removed through their actions, which would, in any other context, would be deemed completely inappropriate. I mean, think about any other group. If she was talking about bronies, if she said, "Why is white America, or why is brony America, or why is America so reluctant to identify brony males as a problem population?" She probably would be fired for that. Or if she was to say transgender people are a problem population, or black people, or Asian people, or Jewish people, or Hispanic people, she would be fired for that. And we all know it. But it seems like, it just seems like, you know, this country, it's not actually white supremacy. It's actually the opposite. It's white inferiority. The white people we do have in power seem to maintain the ideal that white people are inferior to everybody else. Yeah, we've oppressed other people, but other people are superior because superior people don't oppress people. That's actually a pretty good way to frame that argument, how they pretty much frame it, is superior people don't oppress people. But the thing is, everybody's oppressed somebody at some point in time. Black people have oppressed white people, or African people have oppressed white people. Middle Eastern people have oppressed white people. White people have oppressed black people, I'm sure. There were slave owners that were white in America, but not all of them were white. The first slave owner was a black man. The slave ships, when you look at the evidence, were owned by Jews. The people sailing on them were white sometimes, definitely. You had white captains. But from what we know about Jews, I mean, what kind of Jew is going to basically make it their career of sailing on a ship full of Negro slaves in treacherous waters at that point in time? That's pretty far-fetched. Of course they're going to pay somebody else to do it. And it seems to me that Jewish people worship themselves, and white people, by large in part, historically, have worshipped money, which is very sad. But look at today, and some people out there are probably knee-jerking and saying, "No, that's not true," but look around you. I'm not talking about white nationalists. I'm not talking about people like yourself. But the majority of our race seems to worship the freaking dollar. And I think I might have said it on my last show that, you know, you get these people that you start telling the truth to, and they're very receptive to it until they get a really good job, and then they don't give a fuck about any of it. Because it ain't affecting me. And that's the problem with, like, these libertarian retards. If it doesn't affect me, then it doesn't matter. It's like gay marriage, pedophilia doesn't affect me because, and not, you know, I'm not saying all libertarians support pedophilia, but as far as libertarian ideals, in some cases, you could say that there would be justification to support pedophilia and gay marriage, because if it doesn't affect me, then what's the problem? The problem is, it might not affect you, but it affects somebody else. It affects that child that they adopt. It affects people they come in contact with. People that they're employed by that can't fire them, because if they fire them, they will be slapped with a discrimination lawsuit because they're gay. And that's what libertarians a lot of times do, you know, fail to realize. It's a mistake that they make a lot of times. They don't really quite realize or notice some of the consequences of things. But Kyle mentioned synchronicity. And I've experienced a lot of synchronicity since I became aware, I guess, of the term. I've seen many examples of it. Had many examples of it when I'm listening to shows on the network here. People say things that I thought verbatim, pretty much. And the only explanation I can come up with for it is some type of consciousness between people, a group of people. And one example I can think of was, this was way back, maybe when Kyle was on Oracle. I think maybe it was when Kyle was on Oracle. I was just, you know, taking a shower one day, and I thought of the letter A and just the shape of the letter, some of the other interesting connections between it. I can't remember exactly right off what they were, but I kind of thought to myself when I got out of the shower, I was like, it's kind of weird. Why am I thinking of the letter A? Like, it's pretty random. And, you know, I have random thoughts. I assume other people have random thoughts like that as well. But after the shower, I logged on the computer and saw that that was what his show was about. And, you know, he didn't tell me what his show was about. I don't think we were really talking then. There was no way that I could have just, that had just been something I picked up on at another time and, you know, just happened to think of it, you know, at that time, etc. So I think there really is something to the synchronicity. And, you know, I've worked different jobs where I already knew I had done it. Like, I knew what to do because I had already done it before. I knew I had done it. Might sound kind of crazy, but I mean, I hope other people out there have similar experiences and that I'm not the only one, but, you know, there's some stuff that I'm like, I know exactly what's coming. I know what kind of problems are coming ahead. Unfortunately, it doesn't work for everything, but every once in a while it will hit me and I'm like, I've already been to this place. I've already done this. And it can be frustrating sometimes. Because you're like, yeah, once you do something once, you don't want to do it again. But at least it gave me, at least I knew it was going to work out because of somehow remembering it, which doesn't make any sense. But that falls in line with synchronicity. Or as, I forget who it was that said, it's like deja vu all over again. I'm sure some of us have experienced that. pretty weird stuff. I've experienced some pretty odd occurrences in my life. I've had, I don't know, I mean, it's either the rantings of a madman or something more, but I've, you know, on one occasion I've had a vision of something that I can only explain as being some kind of alternative reality. The only time that it's ever happened, completely sober and seeing a vision. And I might have talked about it before on a show. I think maybe it was with the interview I did with Vic. I might have brought it up, but it's basically a vision I had of myself with a friend talking about something that is totally outside of who I was or what had happened or what I had done at that time. Pretty weird. Broad daylight, standing up, went somewhere else and was back. And I don't know how to explain that kind of stuff. I guess that's kind of maybe beside the point of some things, but there's definitely something, I believe there is something else that is active. There's something else to this reality. It's not just you live in this world. There's no other gods. There's no other realms. There's no real spirituality. There's just us. We're here. We do what we do. We die and we're done. I don't believe that. I've never believed that. And although I don't believe in Christianity anymore, I still believe there's something else, and I still believe that Christians experience something else. Certain ones, some of them are, I think, just crazy, so to speak. I'd say the majority of Christians that are quote-unquote spiritual and hear from God are actually communicating with what they would call demons, but try and tell them that and see how much, you know, see how far you get with that. I've done it before. I've asked Christians that have told me, you know, well, I talk to God. God tells me things. I'm like, how do you know that's not a demon? They've got nothing to respond to that other than almost like a demonic hatred of what you have to say, which is, I think, almost telling in some ways, kind of scary in some other ways, because I certainly don't want to believe there's things like that around us that can influence us, but it's a possibility. I just don't know how exactly to frame it up or what to call it, because I've never communicated with anything like that before. I don't know what the source of it is. If it exists, I guess I just accept the possibility that something like that exists, and it's pretty weird. All these Christians that talk about how God told them to do this, God told them to do that, God gave them this, God gave them that. And you look at people like Leroy Jenkins, Peter Popoff, what's that other scumbag's name? I always forget his name. It's like, supposedly he's Palestinian, but he's really not. I don't know. I can't remember his name for some reason. There's probably a demonic spirit that's blocking his name from me. Doesn't want me to know it. Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, these characters preach the prosperity gospel, prosperity doctrine. You know, you give $10 to God, he'll give you back tenfold if you have faith. Those kind of people. I know people that do that, that are very, very successful at what they do. I've met people all throughout my life that have done that, that have been very successful. But my thing is, when I look at their lives and see what actually like has happened in their lives, there's been a lot of real things that have been taken away from those people. There's been a lot of material wealth that they've accumulated. That's all I see. They're not really happy. They're not really benefiting in spiritual things necessarily. It's, I gave God $100 or $1,000 or $5,000 seed and I reaped it tenfold. So God has blessed me. Never mind that my son won't have anything to do with me or family members close to me died suddenly. No, never mind that. God, and this is legit. God tells me when meats are on sale at Walmart. Literally, somebody I know is. They claim that. God tells me when meats are on sale at Walmart. He'll speak to them, and they'll go to Walmart, and sure enough, they're like cheap as they've ever been. Has told them to stop and buy a scratch-off lottery ticket. They stop, buy one scratch-off lottery ticket, win $300. These are people that have no need. Somebody that probably had basically $200,000 sitting in the bank, retired, everything paid off, their house, everything. Didn't need it. Told God, oh, no, I don't need that. Buy a scratch-off. No, I'm not going to do that. Buy a scratch-off, God says. You know what? I'll do it. I'll buy one $300. Pretty weird. Pretty weird. But that's what really like bothers the shit out of me, because I'm like, I don't believe in Yahweh. I don't believe in this biblical nonsense. But obviously, I mean, this is somebody I know and have known for the better part of my life that has always had things like this happen. God told her to do this, and it was like financially a good decision. That's the thing that gets me. It's always a financial decision, it seems like. It's always a blessing of money, which isn't money the root of all evil, right? Didn't the Bible say that money is the root of all evil? Something to the effect of that. I don't know. Christians say that. I don't know if it's really in the Bible or not, but I've heard Christians say that many times. Kind of makes me wonder. I don't know how relevant this is to people. I don't even know why I decided to talk about this. I guess synchronicity and things like that kind of got caught into it, which I think are somewhat related in some ways. It's kind of similar. Synchronicity is something that relates that shouldn't relate, connection to something that shouldn't be a connection to something, but somehow resonates with you as an individual, I guess would be a fairly good summary of it. But it's pretty weird to me how Christian people like that follow some of these teachings actually do succeed, but the majority seems to overwhelmingly lose. It's just like gambling. You have people that gamble that freaking make millions that aren't exactly talented by any means. It's not necessarily skill that's making them get by, but it's almost like there's something else guiding them. Is it the synagogue of Satan? Maybe. Maybe Yahweh does exist. I'm pretty much at the point where I'm starting to believe that maybe Yahweh does exist. I went through a long period where I didn't think he did. But I think he does. But will I worship him? Absolutely not. unless he can prove that the Old Testament was incorrect about himself and that he wasn't really a bloodthirsty, genocidal, schizophrenic maniac. Basically, I've come to the conclusion through my studies of other religions and what the Bible is based off of in many regards, that I put Yahweh, the biblical God, in the category of pretty much Loki. I believe that Yahweh, and, you know, I got Christian listeners out there, I'm sure, right now, and this is not to make you mad. It's not to, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, most of you, if you're Christian, you're out there listening to this show and you've gotten this far, I have respect for you. Basically, is how I frame it. I really do have respect for you. And there's a lot of people that are Christian that I have respect for. It's just, I don't have respect for the Talmudic Torah God that, oh, I'm going to choose the Jewish people to be my people, even though they're the biggest screw-ups on the face of the planet that hate me and despise me and want to worship other gods all the time, and that Moses, which was discarded as a child, why was Moses discarded? I can't remember. Why was he discarded by his wonderful Jewish parents? Sent down the river to be raised by the Egyptian Pharaoh. Those evil Egyptians, evil people, all of them were evil, right? They enslaved the Jews, but they took in a child that showed up on the river. Yeah, they must have been some really, really some scumbags, right? So they take this child in and raise it as their own. He, you know, rises in political power and eventually frees the Jews in Israel, or frees the Jews in Egypt, or as your Christian identist would say, frees the Israelites from Egypt. And here's another question. All you Christian Israelites out there, if you're so perfect, then why did your early people bring a mixed multitude with them? Good question. They bring a mixed multitude with them that is doing nothing but screwing up everything. And this is where I see where the Christian Israelites and whatnot kind of gather their belief from, is that a lot of stuff in the Old Testament, if you read it a certain way, does actually kind of line up with how we should do things in the modern day. We shouldn't have a mixed multitude. But they bring a mixed multitude with them anyway. And they wander around the desert for 40 years, which was really only like maybe a 2-year trek, because they're obviously fucking retarded or something. I mean, look in your Bibles, those of you that have the map. I had somebody, when I was on the church, show it to me. The map that they show that the Israelites trek, where they just basically go in a big freaking circle and finally make it to the promised land. It's such a joke to me. I mean, it's totally retarded. They bring this mixed multitude with them. It's just this idea that the Israelites, or the Jewish people, or the Christian Israelite people, are free from blemish. They've just been so perfect. It's the biggest utter nonsense in the world that I've ever seen. It's just such crap. White people have screwed up. Jewish people have definitely screwed up, and they keep doing it, which the Old Testament and the New Testament will completely show that. They seem, I basically, through observation, In my understanding, the Jews are the biggest screw-ups on the face of the planet. You know, the blacks never had anything, the Africans never had anything to screw up as bad as the Jews did. I think I kind of see that as being the problem, or just kind of the argument. But I kind of got off track, I guess, with my point. I don't remember what my point was and all that. But, I remember what I was going to get to was that the conclusion I've come to is that Yahweh, or the biblical God, is very possibly, in fact, real. If there is something such as gods or other life out there, could be ancient aliens, man. They might not be human. They might just be something else. That's basically the way I term it. The gods, they might not be like Yahweh. They might not be like Tyr. They might not be like Krishna. They might not be like any of the other gods, Buddhas, and you know all these other gods we've heard about. They might just be something totally different. They could be an alien life form that is in a physical appearance. They could be a trans-dimensional species. They could be the reptilians. Could be that there's multiple different groups and they all have kind of a difference to how trans-dimensional they are. I don't know. But as far as I can tell, my best theory on it is that if there is gods, that basically, Yahweh is Loki. And as we've all heard, what better way to control the opposition than to lead it? If you believe in Christianity, if you believe in the Bible, then how did Satan come into existence? And I've asked this to people when I was a Christian and afterwards, and the best that I ever heard from anybody and personally was that God created Lucifer, which now through reading the text and really digging into it seems to be a complete misnomer. It does not seem to be factual at all, or really Lucifer, the whole Lucifer, Satan parallel, them being the same person or same entity, just does not really line up. It really doesn't. There's not enough evidence to indicate that that was even a reference to Satan. So, but most people say, well, God created Lucifer. He was the highest of the high of the angels. And he decided he was, you know, better than the rest. He was higher than God. And so he fell from grace and decided he was going to wage war against Jesus. And he took, was it a third of the angels with him and all that, which I've heard contradicting things throughout the church that angels didn't have free will, and because they didn't have free will, that's why God created humanity, because he was not happy with a group of people or a group of angels that he created because they just worshipped him incessantly just because he created them to be that way. And he wanted a group. He wanted a different creation that would basically have to choose between him and something else to have free will. But I've looked into that, and biblically that's not true. But I know I have heard that when I was growing up in church multiple times. But it's really not true, which is kind of like funny to me. Like some of the stuff that I heard in church that really is not biblically verifiable. You know, when you really like look at it critically, such as something like that. But basically I see Yahweh as being, he is Satan and he is God. What better way to control people? The left and right paradigm, anyone? That's pretty much all the explanation you should need at this point. Is it's the same thing. And look around you. How many things are based on that? Coke versus Pepsi. Apple versus Microsoft. And they're all just as fucking evil as each other. They're all poisoning us, taking advantage of us just as much as the other side. Occasionally, one might do more than the other. They might take advantage of us more, but none of them are really out there for our interests at all. And that's how I see the biblical context. And whether I'm right or not, and the Christians out there at least see it in an allegorical way as being some wisdom, being some knowledge contained within that idea. And I can pretty much, if I really wanted to, I think I could pretty much make the case through quoting scripture that is the case. You know, God anointed Saul, apparently decided that Saul changed his ways for whatever reason, turned against God, and God decided he didn't want to have anything to do with Saul anymore. And so he ordered demonic spirits or evil spirits, depending on what version you're reading, upon Saul to basically screw him up. And then you have David come in, defeats Goliath. He's an underdog. And Saul hates him. Jonathan, his son, loves him. And Jonathan lies to his own father to protect David. Which, I mean, if you take the story at face value, that was the right thing to do. But under biblical teachings, lying is one of the worst things you can ever do. So, pretty interesting. I didn't really want to get on to that subject. I see I have a caller. You must have got in right before the end there, and I will pick you up. Please do stay on. I just need to take a break here real quick. I'm going to play a song real quick. I'm going to play a song real quick for everybody while I take a break, and then I will come back and I will pick you up just after the break. Give it a second. This is a song by Animals as Leaders, and the title is Cascade. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Welcome back to the show. This is the Return of Tyr with Drew. And I'm going to go ahead and bring up that caller, All Ones. All Ones, you are on the air.
Hello. This is a question for some of your listeners out there.
All right.
Would you agree that the literature of a people reflects that people's character? Now, I'm pretty sure you agree with that comment, Drew. Well, here's what Yahweh tells his chosen ones in Deuteronomy 15:6. You will lend, L-E-N-D, to many nations, but will borrow from them. Who does that sound like? Now, that is Yahweh speaking to the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at all of the books that are undisputably European origin texts. Let's say the Iliad, the Odyssey, the Aeneid, the Viking sagas. Is there anything in any of those epics speaking to lending and borrowing? The answer is no, there isn't. Now, next, the CI people are going to start telling us that the Iliad and the Odyssey were written by Jews, that it was an army of Alan Dershowitz's that brought down Troy, that it was legions of Jerry Seinfeld's in Viking helmets populated the Icelandic sagas. You're far too kind with these people.
I know.
It's easy for me to say, because I'm just calling in here. You're the one doing the show, admittedly. And you do a great job. I enjoy your shows. But these people are just abject morons at best, and they're completely denigrating character of our people at worst. That's what's happening here. They can keep their maps and their wordplay and shove it up their asses. It's so clear from the Bible, all of it, that this is not European man.
I was going to ask you, Frank, have you ever noticed, if you look through the text where it talks, God is talking to the Israelites about how they will live in nations that they won't rule, and how, you know, they're going to live under, you know, subjection until the Messiah comes?
That's very interesting also. I thought you were going to reference Deuteronomy 6:11 there for a minute, where Yahweh tells his Seinfelds, you will draw water from cisterns you did not dig.
Yeah.
And you will eat from vineyards as you did not plant. Or Joshua 24:13, I gave you land you had not worked on. I gave you towns you did not build. Who would be proud of living in towns, eating from vineyards and olive trees that they have not built or planted? Who's proud of such things? Is there anything like that in the Iliad? Is there anything like that in the Odyssey? Is there anything like that in the Metamorphoses by Ovid? No, 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 no. You can start a band and call it Yahweh Face. They're talking about the goddamn children of Abraham. You're denigrating my ancestors.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of people kissing these asses of these morons. It's sickening. And by the way, with regard to all this unity, what difference does it make? If they're verbally attacking the powers that be with information, and other groups are doing the same, what does it matter if they're unified, or they like each other, or they're holding hands, or they're agreeing to disagree, about unimportant matters like our whole history.
Yeah.
That's an unimportant matter? Entire literature and history?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway.
And that's one point that I don't know if I've ever made it on air, but as far as like white nationalism, we've been through different phases where there was a certain segment of people or, you know, a group of people that are like, you know, we really need to unify. But the terms as to what we need to unify under are pretty much, you know, basically the equivalent of the multi-cult of what we need to unify. Basically, all you other people that disagree with me just need to shut up and go along with, and it's usually the Christian segment that seems to have pushed it, at least from my experience of being in it. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be unified with you. I don't want to be an enemy, but I don't. And I guess that's where I'm at, like with the Christians.
You're an enemy of theirs. I mean, it's as simple as that. Their book also talks about smashing all heathen idols. What do you guys think's going to happen if white nationalism ever succeeds? All they're going to do is basically, since the idiots outnumber the thinking people who actually read, uh-huh. they're just going to slaughter all the heathens. You're better off in the system you have now. Look, I'm not even a white nationalist. I respect people who are and want to live only with white people or whatever. They have that right. It's freedom of association, for crying out loud. We were taught these things. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a position to advocate that or whatnot. I'm older. You know, I don't have any kids, so. You know, I don't even really call myself a white nationalist or anything like that. I'm just being totally honest with you. Mm-hmm. But they're denigrating the character, the literature, and the history of my ancestors. For me, personally, that's all it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, admittedly, that's a very limited scope, but hey, that's me. That's my perspective. And,
I wanted to ask you a question. I don't know if it's ever been asked to you or if I've ever heard. Do you believe in, you know, a quote-unquote gods or higher power or anything of that nature? Or at least a possibility of it?
Drew, I'm just like you. These things they used to have a word for it that was in common usage. They're imponderables. Which is mm-hmm. something of a misnomer, because of course you can ponder them.
Yeah.
So they're technically unknowable. I like what the Romans called the unknown god. They actually built statues to the unknown god, the unknown and unknowable.
Mm.
And he superseded the titans, the giants, the gods, the goddesses. This concept of an unknown mover appeals to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the problem there is the beauty of the concept is what lies in the mystery, in that we're not pretending to name that which we're not even sure exists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's so absurd about this Yahweh is, as Charles Giuliani pointed out, they actually took the Yahweh deity from the Shasu tribe.
Yeah.
So it didn't even originate, for crying out loud, with the ancient Israelites. And by the way, you know, they have their own literature. They have their own book. I think that's a form of theft to try and appropriate it, even if it were something worth appropriating. So, it's just so nauseating. You know, look. Let's look at it this as a possibility. I agree that the white race is being driven to extinction. There's no doubt about it. Everyone can see it. It's just some people are willing to admit it. Now, if everyone wakes up fast and unifies, what you're going to have is the same thing. You're just going to have a massive Christian base that's going to create the same errors and get itself eventually in the same predicament again. Hmm. But if things continue as they are, and we continue to take a beating, which looks like what's going to happen for the foreseeable future, then maybe as a people we'll be perfected. And of course, the danger in that is if it continues this way, we may not survive at all. It's just basically the old, what does not destroy me makes me stronger. But the trick is to get to that maximum point of strength before you're destroyed. That's the whole game here. So, you know, I don't have any answers with regard to those big questions, Drew, and I don't pretend to. I'm no oracle here. What I do know for absolute certainty is that the Old Testament is the book of the ancient Hebrews, Israelites. And we have our own many glorious poems and epics that were unquestionably written by our ancestors. They don't talk about borrowing money and lending money and being proud of eating from that which you did not plant. And that is it, baby. That's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. Okay, what were you going to ask?
I was going to say... Actually, no, I think I might have forgot. I think I did forget. I hate when that happens. I wish I could think of it. I think as far as the thing that really reveals truth to me is you look at the actual... what these books actually say, just like you're saying now, you look at the Old Testament and look at what it actually says, what it's actually promoting. And it's just, one example, one of many is, like you said, we shall lend to many nations, but not in the reverse. They won't be lending to us. We'll be lending to them and taking interest from them. And you look at all of the epics, you look at all of the sagas, you don't see anything that even hints at the least of any type of activity like that.
No.
And that's where I basically say at this point, even if Yahweh is God.
Okay, stop that. Yeah, right. There you go. But rest assured, he's not. The whole thing, the more you'll read, the more you'll listen, the more you'll learn, you'll come to a point of absolute certainty with regard to Yahweh not being God and Jesus not being any kind of messianic savior. He actually was an insurrectionist, as Charles Giuliani has proven, time again.
Yeah.
So, there it is, and... I don't know what to say to these other people that I'm listening to when I tune into these shows, even on this network, but there comes a point where it's just absolute sanity. I see no reason to keep my mouth shut. Every time I hear them on, it's Father Abraham this and that, and somehow it's always the heathen's role to keep the mouth shut, to keep the peace. No. The best defense is a good offense, as any winning team has found. And that's certainly the case here and with regard to all other matters. I don't even think this needs to be a white nationalist issue, frankly. It just needs to be a case of, look, they're wrong. Here's why. Very simple.
Yep.
And they're denigrating the character. I mean, I should, of our ancestors, I should start my own, even Defamation League or something. Get right on it,
And my thing is that white nationalism isn't the truth, but the truth leans very heavily towards white nationalism.
Well, look, the bottom line is, if that's what you're so inclined to do, if you just want to live with a certain group of people, your people or whatnot, we have a constitutional right. We've been taught all our lives, freedom of association. And it does seem to be the thing that the majority of people want to do. Now, with regard to people who want to marry or live with other people, I think they should have that right, too. And and look, I don't care what your listeners say. I like Renegade. I highly respect Kyle and everything. Don't get me wrong. But if you were to, or, you know, anybody, any young man, you're married, you know, you were to meet some woman of another race and you were totally simpatico, and I see no reason. I see no reason for those people to not get together. Because it's always going to be the case that the majority are going to prefer their own kind. It presents no threat. It presents no threat if 1% or 2% of any given people or whatever the percentage is, you know, decide to intermarry or whatnot. I'm not against that. What does present a threat is destroying the literature, the history, the honor of all of our ancestors, warriors, poets, whatnot. That's more of a threat, in my opinion.
I want to ask you, Frank, while I got you on the line, you know, the Daily Stormer, I've noticed, like, because I've been trying to figure out, they've had this kind of, you know, thing about women that they've been promoting, you know, basically that women are not really useful. They're not really, like, necessary, I guess, in some ways. And they're not on our side. I mean, Andre said that wake up, white man, or something. I might be a little bit off, but pretty much verbatim from what I can remember was, wake up, white man. The Jews aren't your enemy. White women are. And it seems...
Well, I've heard you address this a number of times. Like I said, I listen to your shows. I listen to other shows. I even listen to shows with opposing viewpoints sometimes. But, you know, and to be honest with you, I even tried for a while to be very fair-minded and listen to anti-racist shows back in the day and whatnot. But it was clear to me that they were just not being fair. They were only against one type of racism, and of course it was really proven to me that they are in fact just anti-white. But with regard to your show, I've heard you bring this up a number of times, and it's just absurd. I don't go to the Daily Stormer. I'm not interested in storming anything. You know, attacking women or all these ridiculous side issues. It's an incredible waste of time. Totally absurd. I don't know how a guy can go from, you know, Andre Anglin saying on saying that the white race should be bred out of existence and whatnot. Let me tell you something. Even when I was a really young guy dating women of all different races and whatnot, as soon as I heard that bullshit, that anti-white line coming from the university, I instinctively reacted against it. It was just so abhorrent to me and false, as was proven through time, that I rejected it out of hand. I don't know how you can go from, you know, saying our race should be bred out of existence to suddenly running the Daily Stormer. But then again, I don't know the guy, you know, I don't want to cast any personal aspersions or whatnot. And, you know, people believe what they believe. I don't even believe in free will. If they believe they're true Israelites, well, there's not much you can do with them. I mean, especially if you point out these quotes, it still doesn't sink into them. You know, maybe we all are just biological robots that we have these instinctual reactions, and then we justify those reactions intellectually.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to get to, was like, it seems the basis for their mindset, because the only reason I say that is because I've constantly seen it referenced by him and Sven Longshanks, which is a writer over there, is that Eve was the first feminist because she took the fruit and she ate of the, you know, fruit of the tree of the good knowledge of good and evil. But then to that, my response is, but she offered it to Adam, and Adam took of the same fruit. So who's wrong? Is it the fault of the woman, or is it the fault of the man? I say, in that context, it's the fault of both. Drugs.
You're a very clear-headed, objectively minded host. That's been evidenced through your shows time and time again. I like your line of reasoning. Personally, it's so absurd. I wouldn't even entertain it. But I see why you do. You have a long 2-hour show. You got to talk about something, right?
Yeah.
So it's just so absurd. It doesn't merit serious philosophical discussion on my part. There's always been a war of the sexes. Everything in nature is based on conflict. You know, there's going to be conflict between brothers, between parents and children. Why wouldn't there be conflict between the opposite sexes, especially when something as passionate as romantic love and sex are involved? Of course there's going to be conflict. There's going to be power struggles. And that's how I see it. That's about the beginning and end of it. You know, to sit here and say, what is their ultimate objective with that line of reasoning? What are they going to do? Just start buggering each other now? Get the Japs to build them a bunch of sex robots? I mean, we're stuck with each other, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and like his thing is, you know, what, you know, why are women, his question is, why are women useful? Like, what purpose do they serve, other than to constantly, like, nag and annoy men, and, you know, they're all, you know, filled with feminist propaganda. And, you know, he did a big write-up on it recently where he said women need to, basically, that all political positions that women have come from men anyway, from what they hear, it's from men. And that they need to listen to men politically. And I'm like, where does that really get us in the modern day situation that we're in? If women did listen to men politically and do listen to men politically, we're still in the same freaking boat. I mean, we're still fucking screwed because they're listening to the same scumbags that are in the mainstream.
You got it. That's like me saying Rush Limbaugh should listen to Drew. Of course he should, but he's not going to. He happens to be with the power. It's as simple as that. You've just got to get the power. You know, I'm sitting here watching this series on ancient Rome. It's sort of a dramatized history, more or less. And, of course, every time there's a power struggle or there's a question of political differences, do you think they just have a big debate about it and the winner? No, they just, Octavius marshals his army and his army marches against, Antony's army. And it's all just decided by might. And then whatever, you know, whoever wins the war, the battle and whatnot, that's the issue. Solved. It's as simple as that. So, but this whole man versus woman thing is a real waste of time. I mean, if people have fun talking about it, I'm glad they do, because I like listening to these shows. And I guess if you guys limited yourselves to only the most pertinent issues, they'd be very short shows. But so it's fun to listen to, but it's just totally absurd. I mean, if any man doesn't know what we need women for, well, you just laugh and walk away. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a man, how can you tell him, for crying out loud?
That's pretty much the point I'm at, is like, you know, if you don't want to have a woman to go home to, if you don't want to have children, and you say things like this, then I'm completely okay with that. Same thing with the gays. It's like, I don't have a problem with gay marriage, at least if I'm, and this is kind of the way I frame it. If America's going to be what it is, I don't have a problem with gay marriage, but I don't want them adopting
based on their
behavior. I don't want them adopting.
I have no problem with them getting together. They definitely are born that way. So, again, the Christians are wrong. Yet again, I think they get tired of being wrong. But, no, it's a point of honor with them. So it's been proven biologically most of the time, unless somebody's really badly abused or MK-Ultra'd or something, you're born gay. And so let them go off and enjoy each other. Fine with me. What do I care? Now, the whole issue of marriage and whatnot, I do see where that gets to be problematic, you know. I mean, there are societal issues involved. But as far as trying to cure them, well, I guess we could maybe in a million years if we keep advancing and science can go that far. But as of right now, when we can't even cure the common cold, no, we're not going to be curing them of it. So just let them get together and enjoy some quality of life. And
What I liked is Iran pretty much doubled down and they said, okay, you're gay. Well, we're going to force you to have a sex change. it's pure comedy, but it's like, why not?
Funny. And, you know, the sad thing about that is Bruce will never be a Caitlyn. I mean, I think I've heard you mention this. There's nothing you can do about skull size, bone density, you know. These are the indelible factors that we recognize right away. It's not just a matter of putting a hole between the legs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's every single cell in your body is either male or female. So if we could put Bruce Jenner in some sort of a magical transformer beam or something, and he could come out some gorgeous, sexy broad, hey, fine with me. But there's no way to do it. Science is just gonna, cut his wee-wee off. And then call him a Caitlyn, for crying out loud. So at that point, it becomes a complete comedy of errors, and it's sad and it's disgusting, particularly at his age, you know.
Oh yeah, and he's an ugly motherfucker. Like he's ugly as a man.
Well, you know, I think a lot of that is because, you know, obviously he just got old. If you look at the young pictures of him on the Wheaties boxes in the 70s, I wouldn't call him an ugly man. You know, I don't sit here and rate males on attractiveness scales. But personally,
he got wrinkly pretty quick, though.
Well, you know what happened? He got old, but he didn't grow old. So he sort of became freakish. You know, when these people try to beat back the clock, they just end up making themselves look worse. There's no way to hide age. There's no way to change your sex. Hell, if we could manipulate nature like that, I'd get under the age reversal magical beam myself right now, you know. But there's no way to do it. So it's absurd. Yeah. Obviously, the controllers do want to neuter any potential resistance. So this is why I can't even check my email without seeing the latest update about Caitlyn splash across the screen, you know.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, though, Frank, you're not married, correct?
Well, I don't want to get into my personal life. Okay. I will just say this. Throughout my life, I've had girlfriends, short-term, long-term, I was married for a lengthy period of time, many years. Got married when I was young. And so, you know, that's about as personal as I feel the need to get. So I congratulate you on having a productive, you know, still romantically exciting marriage and you two sticking it out. So congratulations to you for that, you know.
I was going to say was like the, you know, as far as what I've heard from you over the years, you know, you've been through, you know, different relationships and whatnot, and you sound like you've had some experience. Not to say that you're like a man whore by any means, but, you know, as far as the conversation on women and basically are women a lost cause or is there something basically this is a good question. You probably can answer it for you.
I hear your question already. They're biologically programmed to connect with power. If they don't, if women during the caveman era and whatnot, even ancient Rome and throughout the Middle Ages, if they were not biologically programmed to couple with power, they were literally putting their own lives in danger and the lives of their offspring in severe danger. So they're just programmed this way. There's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing there's nothing any group of people could do about it except to gain control of the media, political institutions, and financial institutions. There's no way to do that when you have 90%+ of our people so brain scrambled that they think they're either A, the true Israelites, or B, that the Israelites are God's chosen people. There's no way to do it. There's no way you're going to get around that except for a very short-term victory, which will be crushed. This is my opinion.
Yep.
I'm not saying it categorically. There's no way out of this. There's only one way through, and it's with total lucidity and embracing reality.
Yep.
That's it. There's no half measures. If somehow the white nationalists, of which I don't call myself one, because I don't want to limit myself to anything. I see myself as a truth seeker, and I respect people who are honest, fair-minded, and want to seek the truth, like I get from Kyle and whatnot. He's that kind of guy. And all you guys are, no doubt about it. But, and plus I'm so damn old now, it just doesn't matter, Drew. You know, I'm not, I'm not going to pull up stakes and go move somewhere and be surrounded by a bunch of true Israelites, okay, just because they're the same color and background that I am. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's just too late for me. And I'm not crying any tears. I'm just saying that because you brought it up. You asked the question. And this is the only way to answer it. But
I was going to say the main question is, in your opinion, because this was kind of how Andre phrased it in a lot of his writings, was what benefit do women really provide? Like, why are they so special? Why are they so important?
Okay, you want me to answer that?
Yeah,
go ahead. It's not just physical sex. It's not just sitting there putting, you know, the right piece through the right hole of the board game, so to speak. No, it's a whole yin-yang thing, okay? It's a whole yin-yang thing. Even talking to a feminine woman or being around her is a form of sex. Because you are of the different sex, the opposite sex. And so this is something that even goes beyond the physical act of copulation and childbearing. And if somebody has to ask that question, there's no answer possible for them. I mean, if they don't feel that connection with you know, the yin-yang continuum, well, what can you say to them, Drew? I mean, there's no answer. They feel it or they don't.
Yeah.
And I would wager that they do. So something else is in operation here. If somebody's consistently claiming something like that, my guess would be either they're gay or they're just severely traumatized due to failures with the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just admit that? Okay,
yeah.
I failed with the opposite sex. There really are a lot of environmental sociological factors that will help you fail with the opposite sex. So why not just admit it and just say, look, you know, I'm kind of embittered. It didn't work out for me, and leave it at that. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why go on this tirade, this absurd, pointless tirade against the indispensable, inevitable opposite sex? It's absurd. But yet, here's what people should be focusing on, in my opinion. Why is that site so big? Number one, they're true Israelites. Number two, they're sitting here writing articles about women not being necessary. Well, so what does it tell you? That it's the most popular site of its kind, or one of? What it tells me is that our people right now are too brain scrambled, too ignorant, to basically do anything to get out of this predicament. There's no way out right now. So I see maybe long-term solutions. Short-term solutions, I see none. And in fact, I hope this doesn't upset anybody there who I respect. I do respect the host. But I'm going to go so far as to say this. It may be better for the very long-term prospects of European man if he's driven closer to the brink of extinction before he wakes up. Because if he only partially wakes up, he's going to be careful of him into the next centuries, and we all know the horrors that result from that.
Yeah.
Now, if he continues to take a beating and he gets put through an evolutionary bottleneck, and he barely comes out alive, a totally transformed, reality-based individual, wouldn't that be better?
I agree. I really think, like, that's the only bright side to the way that things are, is that they're so bad and they're getting so much worse that people are going to transcend. Only the real people are going to transcend that. And, you know, I don't want to see another 500 years of, things are bad now and social Marxism and whatnot, and then that's struck down and we spend 500 years in a Romanesque type of Christian fundamentalism ridiculous society.
Get this. Suppose there's some sort of great, quote-unquote, white nationalist victory in a year or two. I can already foresee what's going to happen after that. Then shortly you're going to have these Israelite raids upon the non-believer communities, bashing their babies' heads against the rocks, smashing all their idols. Think about it. Why would that be better than what you have now? Why? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what's scary, and that's what I've tried to wake white nationalists up to is, you want a white nationalist society? Well, we pretty much had a white nationalist society in Britain, and what happened? We fled to freaking America to get away from the crown. You want an aristocracy? That was an aristocracy.
Good point, and what did the British do to the Irish, as Kyle has recently illuminated on his most recent show? They holocausted the Irish, for crying out loud. They were taking their food right out of their mouths and their children's mouths and watching them die.
And there's some people that if you bring this up to, they say, oh, you're trying to demoralize people. You're trying to cause division. And it's like,
yeah, and
no,
you know what?
It's the truth.
You know what?
But...
The division is there. It's there. Pretending it's not there is not productive. The division is there. It's going to always be there until we jettison that book. And you can focus on white nationalists. That's fine. You have a freedom of association, or at least they told us we did. I would rather extend it to just all humanity. Just jettison that Bible, for crying out loud. It's just no good. You know, even the Jews, if they were to jettison the Bible, that'd be great. So I'm not holding my breath. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
It's a tough reality.
It's a really tough situation. The bottom line is, European man has been playing checkers while another group of people have been playing chess.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't compete that way. You won't be able to. Not going to. You haven't been able to. There's no question about it. People have to just get smarter. A lot smarter, a lot less gullible. And, you know, that's the only hope I see. Long term. I do have long term hope. I definitely want our people to exist. For crying out loud, I think we're the best hope of continuing to explore space and cure diseases, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't call myself a white nationalist. I never did. I actually never did. And if people are, that's fine. That's fine. That's great. You know, and I don't think there's any threat to the white race as a whole with regard to mixing itself out of existence. You know, unless you're in a very bad society like we are in now. Because the natural instincts are always going to be there for most people most of the time. And when you make something forbidden, well, guess what? You're just making it more appealing to people, for crying out loud. If you have a bunch of kids and you sit there and tell them, oh, don't you, I better not ever see you bring a, you know, Latina girl home or an Asian girl. Well, guess what that kid's going to want to do?
Yeah.
You're going to see that as forbidden fruit then. So, you know, we're dealing with a lot of people who seem to have no conception of world literature, world religion, who have never taken philosophy or psychology 101.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, forget it. They're not going to unseat the Jews with that kind of a knowledge base. They're not going to do it, in my opinion. So anyway, all right, I've been talking too long on the phone here. You kept drawing me out with these questions,
Drew.
Yeah,
I know.
Anyway,
but
you're doing a good job.
Yeah, I think we hit some good stuff tonight.
Well, I tried to say some different stuff. At least some of it. You have addressed the Bible and whatnot, but I think some of the comments I made are different comments that I haven't heard anywhere else. And I think that's useful to throw different thoughts in the mix, whether they're right, wrong, rejected, accepted, whatever. You know,
as long as we're making people think, you know, I want to make people think. I don't want to tell people. I don't want to be there ordering people what to do, and that's why. You got all these like fascists now, and I'm like, I don't want to tell people what to fucking do. I want them to know what they need to fucking do. Well, I don't want to be there ordering them around. And that's where I disagree with a lot of white nationalists. I get pissed off is, why do you want to order a bunch of sheep around? That seems to be where they stand. I'm like, fuck you. It's a bunch of crap.
Well,
you're dealing with a stupid population.
You're
dealing with a population of idiots, yet you're the supreme race? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's so many layers of problems. You know, I think the middle game complication was when Christianity was forced upon us, and what we're experiencing now is an end game complication or series of complications, and the chess players out there will know what I'm talking about. But you've got layers and layers of problems and complications and misunderstandings. And no, I don't want a society that's all white, but that most of the people are clinging to that intolerant, horrible Bible, which teaches that anyone who believes differently than you, well, you're supposed to go and bash their babies' heads against the rock. No, no thanks.
Yeah.
No thanks. And those people cannot be lived with peaceably.
No.
Impossible. It's impossible. Because even if temporarily they tolerate the quote-unquote non-believers, all that's going to happen is somewhere down the road, someone's going to rise up from their ranks and actually start reading their Bible. And guess what?
Yeah.
They'll start following it again.
Yeah.
So there it is, and great job, Kyle, with that hellstorm. Personally, I couldn't watch it because I have anger issues.
Yeah.
I don't want to end up getting locked up again, so I'm going to refrain from watching it, but I know there's a lot of people out there who do need to see it.
Yeah.
And kudos to him for that. All right, well, hey, take care now. Great show.
All right, you too, Frank. Thanks for calling in. I think we had an interesting conversation there. Pretty close to the end of the show, so I'm going to go ahead and say thanks to everybody for listening. I do appreciate all the people that do listen, even if they do get a little pissed off at maybe some of the things that are said. But I want people to... I don't want to live in a society where everybody has to be told what to do. And I see communism as definitely feeling that. And I see fascism, at least the way that people present it in the modern day, because I'm not an expert on fascism, but people that proclaim to be fascism just seem to want to tell everybody what to do. And some of those people are very good people and do know what needs to be done. But if you have to constantly tell everybody what to do, you're living in a society full of idiots. And I don't want to live in a society full of idiots or sheep or retards. I do want to live in a society where people want... the majority, or at least a decent group of them, know what they need to do when they need to do it. Not to be told, hey, it's wrong to have sex with your daughter. It's wrong to rape someone. It's wrong to kill someone for a small gain of some possession, like an iPhone. I don't want to live in that society. That's what we already live in. We live under fascism. Folks, maybe it's not the fascism you like, but it is fascism. I will say it's pretty close to the way that modern day people try to represent it. So I don't want to live under that. And I guess that's pretty much how I leave it. And thank you for listening again. And I'm going to end out with a show. It might not finish the complete song, but this is the Omni Scientist with Temporal. Thank you. Enjoy your night.